Libraries are supposed to hold stories, but sometimes the stories refuse to stay on the page. Tonight, we step into the historic Hunt Memorial Library, a former library where silence is deceptive and the past lingers in places it was never meant to remain. After a book signing event, medium Rob Guttrow and paranormal investigator Monique Toussoun opened the doors to a public investigation, inviting professionals and first-time investigators alike to explore what many had quietly suspected for years. What they discovered were not spirits tied to the building itself, but three entities who chose it as their refuge. A secret romance carried on in whispers, illicit meetings hidden in plain sight, a teenage presence frozen in a moment everything went wrong, and artwork that may be holding more than just paint and canvas. This wasn't a quiet night of observation. It was an investigation where the library began answering back, and they became part of the stories. Hour two begins now, and joining me on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline is Monique Toussoun. Welcome back, Monique.
Hi.
Great to have you here. Thank you so much. If you missed the first hour, don't worry, folks. We do podcast versions of each one of our radio shows here. So all you have to do is go check wherever you listen to your very favorite podcasts or right here on the Audacity app. Look for Paranormal 360, and you'll find all of our past episodes going back. Tonight, Monique Toussoun, our guest for both hours. So let's talk a little bit about this haunted library. Immediately, it conjures thoughts of the beginning of Ghostbusters, right?
Yes, my favorite movie.
And the haunted librarian. But it's remarkable to me. You know, nightclubs, theaters, old insane asylums, hospitals, schools, I kind of get an idea of why they would be haunted. It's kind of strange to think a library of all places would hold and retain that kind of energy. Why do you think a library would be haunted?
Well, so the thing about this library is that before the 1950s, the library was actually a different building completely. And in its place stood a building that has now been moved back to the street behind it. And this building is a bar now, but it used to be a brothel back in the day. So it used to be a place where they would entertain and prostitution and men would hang out, play cards, that kind of thing. So that kind of explains where we got one of the energies from. But another energy, and this is specifically the energy of the teenager, the boy, that was something that me and Rob were doing a walkthrough on this building. And before we even get into the ghost there, the Memorial Library is a building that one of my clients runs, and we were looking for a place to have our book party that wasn't the location we wrote the book about, just to have a different experience, run a ghost hunt there. And we ended up just booking a ghost hunt without even knowing if we come across any spirits, you know, because we didn't know the library was going to be haunted. But so we get into this library, which isn't really open to the public. They don't do anything paranormal there. This was the first and last paranormal thing that's happened there. And we came across this, we were on this tour, and both me and Rob immediately started grabbing our leg, and we look at each other and we're like, what just happened to you? What just happened? And I'm like, oh, my leg is gone. Like, it's completely missing. Like, I almost fell over. And Rob is like, I have pins and needles all down the side of my leg. And obviously we're not picking up on more than that at that moment. We're like, oh, I feel like we feel like we're either lost a leg or something's really wrong with my leg. And so we kind of leave it, put it in our notes, start doing the rest of the tour. Comes to later on in the night after the book party's over, we start doing the ghost hunt and we go downstairs, and then we start getting things through the radio, and we start getting things about a bicycle accident and a this and a that. And then we start to connect dots and we're like, oh my God, this could be the kid that lost a leg. Maybe he somehow, we don't know for sure. Obviously we're trying to actually historically find this, but we believe this boy actually drove into the foundation when they moved the brothel across the street and actually lost his leg and didn't die there, but died at a hospital, and his energy went back there because that's where he passed. We believe he had an amputation and lost his leg. And we believe the kid's name is James. Not only has Rob seen him, but the caretaker of the building has seen this kid many, many times before we went there. They both describe him exactly the same. We went to a graveyard looking for this guy's grave. Like, we are searching for this James character because we truly believe there was a bicycle or some sort of accident with the foundation.
You know, the sad thing is, you know, if it's built far in the past and it's been there for a long time and it's had kind of a sordid history, records are not always well kept, especially from the past. And if they were, a lot of them have been damaged in fires and floods and many different elements like that that have taken place. So it's not always easy to find these things. You know, I can speak for the Palmer House Hotel. We do know that it has had a strange, twisted history throughout its existence. But of course, you know, when it may have been run as a brothel and speakeasy area, there's not going to be a lot of documentation about that or who traversed through these buildings and who may have died and for what reason. Was it alcohol poisoning? Was it abuse? Was it just end of life moment for people? So there are a lot of these things that are hard to track down. But when you start having multiple people from multiple walks of life tell you they're encountering the same spirit and getting information from it, it's hard to just push it away that there's nothing there. And this site seems to be not only holding energy from people and things that have been there in the past, but it's a big enough beacon that it's bringing people in.
Yeah. And the cool thing about the other spirits, like this spirit, the boy with the bicycle, we believe that we went back to this location because we had to continue researching. We wanted to get some more, connect more with this boy and the librarian spirit that we came across. And this boy, when we went back, we couldn't connect with him at all. So we don't know if maybe he moved on. Telling his story was just enough for him to like be done with this location. The caretaker said she hasn't even seen him since. And so I'm like, well, maybe we told his story and he actually, that was enough for him to be like, I'm good now. Bye. And he just checked out. But the other spirit, this was the funniest thing, because when you're investigating with a group of people, you don't know if you're going to have people that are going to take things a little bit more seriously or people that are going to laugh when things are not so serious. And It started to get not serious because we kept getting this weird energy come through. And it was a guy, and he was clearly asking questions about looking for this woman. He was looking for a lady, and we were like, this lady's name is Violet. And we're like, back in the day, brothel times, Violet doesn't really sound like a normal woman's name from back in the day. You know, Anna, stuff like that, you know, more common names. Violet sounded a little bit more of like a lady of the evening name. And so we started asking specific questions, and we were getting answers, not only through Phasma Box, Tripwire, we were using the Dead Bill at this time, but we also had people doing Eskies in another part of the building. And when they came back, it was crazy. So Rob was getting the name Oliver. One of our Paraclauses was getting the name Oliver. Oliver's coming out of the Phasma Box. Oliver's all over this place. People come back from Estes with the name Oliver written down on a piece of paper. So we're gathering that the guy's name is Oliver. He's looking for Violet. And we spent probably like an hour just asking questions, dowsing rods. We have multiple tools going. You know, we're trying to do everything we can just so we're confirming everything we're getting as well. And we started to gather that he is probably looking for Violet in the afterlife. Maybe he fell in love with her and, you know, he was coming back looking for her there. And I don't necessarily think that he was unhappy or anything traumatic happened. I think he's just looking for this lady and his love in the afterlife.
True love does not let go easily, does it? No. For those of you that are listening, wondering what some of these items and methods are, when the Estes method is brought up, if you're not a fan of a lot of the paranormal TV shows, you may not see it. It's blindfolding an investigator, running a spirit box through headphones, noise-canceling headphones to them while they're asking, while someone in the room or nearby is asking questions, that person becomes the translator. They become the person that is hearing the spirit realm and will speak out. So that's one of them. The dead bell is a bell like you'd see on a restaurant to ding to get somebody's attention. And you're simply asking the spirits to ring that bell and communicate with you. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We've got more with Monique right after this. Looking for a place that feels so homey? Some of the visitors have never even left. Well, welcome to the Palmer House Hotel, restaurant and pub in beautiful, friendly Sauk Center, Minnesota, where the food is delicious, the drinks are poured just right, and the atmosphere is warm, welcoming, and occasionally unexplained. Our restaurant and pub serve up comfort food, great cocktails, and a setting so cozy, guests return again and again, sometimes in spirit. So whether you're stopping in for dinner, planning on a relaxing getaway, or joining us for a paranormal investigation weekend, there's always something happening here, or just come for the music, the laughter, and the fun. It's a home away from home, not just for the living, but the not so living as well. Plan your next visit. Come on out to the Palmer House Hotel, and you can find us at thepalmerhousehotel.com or call us right now to book your reservation, 320-351-8255. 9100. That's 320-351-9100. Just stop on in and say hi to me. I'm Dave Schrader, the owner of the Palmer House restaurant and pub as well. We are back. Monique Toussoun, our guest. And tell me now, the full name of this memorial library is?
The Hunt Memorial Library.
Okay. And it is also in Massachusetts, correct?
No, it's actually in Nashua, New Hampshire. So
New Hampshire. Okay.
It's about an hour and 15 minutes from Emory Estate.
All right. And now you had gone there to do a book party and signing for the first book about Emory Estate.
Correct.
And then opened it up to a paranormal investigative moment, a learning moment for the people in attendance, and give them a chance to see this, not even knowing if there was anything really truly there.
Yep.
But the spirits came out to play, and you met some spirits along the way who don't necessarily belong to the building, but have found this as their new home. You were telling us about the one young man you believe had an accident and may have lost a leg there that eventually took his life, and he revisits this spot. What are some of the other types of activity that take place there?
So we had the guy from the brothel for sure looking for the woman, which was kind of an interesting, that was an interesting story to unfold in live with a group. And then we also had a spirit that came through that we didn't really connect with immediately that night. But when we came back to the building, he was very prominent. And we don't really know for sure with this one. We were getting lied to a lot by him. So we spent a solid hour and a half with dowsing rods trying to communicate with this one spirit when we went back, asking yes or no's. And this is lined in the book. This is like a whole chapter of just questions we asked with dowsing rods. And this spirit was potentially a librarian or somebody who worked with this library. And we had spoken to the spirit a few times that night, but it was kind of ominous when we were there in these areas in the upper parts of the library. It felt more sad, not necessarily negative, just more oppressed. And so when we went back there, we decided that would be our focus. We didn't want to bring guests up there for their first ghost hunt, especially when we had a small amount of time. So we went up there alone, and we went there with dowsing rods and a couple of tools just to see what we could get. And everything was very like, It seemed like we were communicating with two women who had been abused in some way, shape, or form up there. And gathering that these women were possibly given drinks or drugs, we don't think they were killed or anything like that. But we were gathering that some women were abused up there and possibly abused by a librarian who was, you know, had a place to do something away from his family and kind of took them upstairs to these stacks. And they're just kind of sharing their stories. They weren't really like stuck there. None of that. There was just these stories we were getting, and the librarian eventually came through, or I shouldn't say librarian, cause we don't have any confirmation, but the male came through and eventually started communicating with Rob, and through the dowsing rods. And we just asked a lot of questions, and he said he was ashamed of the things he did in life. And he, you know, was afraid to move on. And, you know, he just didn't like, He felt bad about what he did, and he didn't hurt anybody in a way he thought was bad. But, you know, it was really weird. The questions that we asked and the answers we were getting, you know, you don't always get intellectual stuff when you're ghost hunting. You don't always get answers. Right. I've had more dead time than I've had actually active time. So to have this many answers coming through on like dowsing rods to me too, isn't that normal?
You know, a lot of people want to know, why do places like this remain haunted? Because there are so many of us that just want our stories remembered and remembered properly. We want the stories said to be the truth. So sometimes that is the job of the investigator. You know, that's why we took it very seriously with Holzer Files, Ghosts of Devil's Perch, and Paranormal Mysteries, in working those cases, that we're giving voice to the undead, right? To those that linger, because they don't want to be remembered incorrectly. They don't want to be lost to time, right? It's not always the winners that are remembered, or usually it is.
Yeah.
It's the wealthy, the big people that were part of this community, but we forget on whose shoulders they got to that level. And that's got to be frustrating for the other side, right? For people that have blood, sweat, and tears into a thing to make it live and breathe, a town, a house, a whatever, a business, and then just be summarily forgotten.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, nobody wants to be forgotten.
Right. Exactly. Now, talk to me about dealing with these spirits. You come into contact, obviously, like you say, some of this is leap of faith. You're going off the information. You've mentioned, you know, Some ghosts you have to be a little bit more leery of because they start misleading you. But if you don't have the history and knowledge of what took place there, how do you know that you're being misled?
I guess you really never do know. I mean, even mediums that I've worked with that are really, you know, strong mediums, you really don't know if they even know if they're being misled or not. You can tell when someone's energy is being affected. You can absolutely tell when your energy is being affected. Mm-hmm. But you never, I guess we're never 100% ever really going to know in this lifetime, probably, what we are dealing with or if it is what it is. But I think the fact that as investigators, multiple people go into the same locations and they come out with the same evidence and they've heard the same stories, there's got to be something to that, right? There's got to be something to all these stories being repetitive. There are locations that you appear multiple times and I get the same spirits every time. So I truly believe that we are communicating with these energies, whether they're us from a past life or impressions left behind by energy, you know, who knows?
Well, and, you know, at the beginning, I started with, why do you think a library would be so haunted? I could understand an asylum, a hospital, a prison, you know, places like that, that tortured souls remained. But I also mentioned things like theaters. There are a lot of haunted theaters, and I've come to realize people go there to escape their real world, to be entertained. They laugh, they cry, they get angry, they have all these emotions. And a library was our original iPads and cell phones, right? That's where we read, we escaped the real world to visit all of these remarkable places, Willy Wonka or Narnia, right? Or Middle Earth. And people would go and read there, and that became part of who they were, and it affected the emotions, which would feed a location like a library. And if spirits are attracted to that kind of energy, it would make sense why they would find their way there eventually as well.
I agree.
When we come back from the break, I want to get a little bit more into this with, have you either here or maybe even at the manor, have you ever felt like what is in there maybe isn't intentionally trying to hurt, but you start to feel that you're in danger yourself for poking and prodding, for getting into these stories? Because some stories we talk about, you know, everybody has a story and most want to be remembered, but there are some that want to be forgotten. You know, you've got maybe a librarian there that was taking advantage of his position, taking advantage of the location and places that, you know, the hidey holes that he could take people into as a possibility. Some of those stories don't seem to want to be revealed. And I'd like your thoughts and input on that when we return as well. Monique Toussoun, our guest. Again, we have a link for this book on the program guide. So if you're listening to the podcast form, just go look. You'll find the link there. Get the book, rate and review the book. We'll be back with more right after this. Everything appears to be haunted nowadays. Have you noticed that? Everybody's talking about these locations. I don't think that there's this uptick in paranormal activity that's taking place. It's not like Ghostbusters where the seams have broken and now everything's, you know, hell is run amok on earth. I think we've just gotten to the point where we've elevated, we're educated, we're being more aware of these things. I think that you probably could go out on any street corner and throw a rock in any direction and hit a place that if you go in and ask and show concern and intent for communicating, there will be something that will be there that wants to show itself. Or do you think I'm being too naive in that case, Monique?
No, there's definitely things that try to make themselves appear, and they definitely have energy. There's definitely energy out there that's way more negative and has an easier access to appearing stronger as well. And you had asked if like something had intentionally attacked me or if I'd ever had a hard time with something. And there's one location that I did, and it was actually to teach a ghost hunting equipment class, and it was a tarot store. And they sold like crystals and all metaphysical items. And the owner of the store had told the whole class about how she believed her boyfriend was possessed by something negative, and she was getting a divorce from him. There's all this stuff going on because of this negative energy. And she actually believes that she had cleared this energy out of the boyfriend and blah, 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 and that it was residing in the attic of her tarot store. Okay. So we decide we're going to go to the attic of this tarot store. If I hear something bad is there, I want to see it. I have never come across anything that in my imagination or in my feelings or in my guts is telling me something's demonic or anywhere near that negative. I've come across negative men, negative energy for sure. But when I went into this attic with the guests, I asked them all to sit down because I immediately felt off balance. Like, I describe ghost hunting as sea legs for me anyway. Like, I always feel like I'm being pulled around in different directions. But this was like a heavy pull. This was almost like someone blew a hole in an airplane and you were about to get sucked into it. Okay, like very, very heavy, heavy, heavy energy. And so I made every guest sit down. And the way the attic is shaped is like the ceiling slants down. So I can't even stand up straight because I am like 6'7" in heels. Okay. So I can't even stand up straight in this building. I actually have to lean forward and crouch down. Don't know how it happens. Every single guest in there, full-blown panic. I am on the floor looking up at the ceiling. Elbow all ripped up, three giant scratches up my arm, and I'm on my back. Tell me how someone falls backwards while they're leaning forward. You don't. You would fall forward. I got pushed in some way, shape, or form backwards and bashed my arm like across this wooden thing. I was cut in three different places, always in threes, right? They always say negative things come in threes. But I bleeding all over the floor. The guests are like, what just happened? How the hell did you just fall backwards? And I'm like, I have no clue. But that owner of that store wiped my blood up fast. She was cleaning it. She was making sure none of me was left in this building. Like, I've never seen somebody like immediately jump into cleansing somebody. So if she believed something negative was in there, she made sure I didn't leave with it.
Wow. Now, was this, were you investigating it in your drag character or were you just there?
Yeah.
You know, as your normal everyday self.
Yeah, so I do this thing on YouTube. I haven't done it in a couple of years where I teach this thing called Check Out My Equipment, where I teach people about ghost hunting equipment, because I think that there's so many cool tools out there, but people don't really know how to use them or what they actually really do. So I started doing that, and now I do it in person. So I do it at stores and stuff, and I was doing an equipment class, and we were doing like a mini one-hour investigation. It wasn't supposed to be anything super serious. It was supposed to be something quick, and it turned out into me getting attacked by this entity, and yeah.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I mean, do you think that if it was in character, was it something that was maybe more of a shock and a repel from that energy or spirit? Or do you think that just whatever is up there was just going to muck with whoever came through that door?
It could have had a personal hatred towards the fact that I was in drag. It definitely, like, when you're on a radio and you're getting things like devil, Satan, and it's getting nasty, you know when things are starting to ramp up. And that's the kind of stuff we were getting that night. It seemed like it was trying to scare us or trying to put that word devil out there to really push that fear in us. But it wasn't really, things don't necessarily scare me until they get really serious. So I wasn't scared in that moment, but yeah, it could have attacked me because I was in drag, but it could have done that to anybody. That's why I immediately told everyone to sit down. Like, I felt the pull.
You know what I find really compelling about this story is the fact that it took place in a metaphysical shop, which is known for having the crystals, the sage, all the things for protection. It's amazing to me how many churches are haunted by things that are not necessarily good. And in a place like a metaphysical shop where they're showing you and selling you items to help you clear the energies, how can something like this reside? Does that mean that these tools even work?
I know. Yeah. And like I said, this energy was in the attic and they were pretty secure that this energy did not leave that attic, that they had kind of trapped it up there. But I've been in locations like this one specifically was negative towards me, but I've been in locations where like the energy is very positive towards me as well. Like when I go there, it comes right out and starts talking to me. So and vice versa, like something can be really negative with you and it can also be really positive with you. Like I'm sure you have spirits that you connect with at specific locations that you go to more than others too, or spirits that other people you work with connect with, but you don't get anything from.
Right. Right. And if you visit a place enough times, the spirits start to know you and welcome you and call for you, right? That's kind of unnerving too. When they call out to you, when they do mention, do they ever speak your name? And have they ever, while in character, have they ever spoken your real name?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they'll sass me. They'll tell me I'm a guy. When I first did this castle,
I mean, do they seem to know things they shouldn't? Like,
yes,
that you're not Monique too soon without the makeup and outfits on, without telling them.
Yep. The SK Pierce Mansion, he's a lady, EVP. immediately, he's a lady. That was one of the funniest things we ever got. But there's a ghost at Wilson Castle in Vermont that follows me around. And I told the owner of the castle, I'm like, I don't want to say this because I feel weird about it. And I feel like there's a creepy old man and I feel a little harassed by him. I'm not like afraid of him, but I feel like he's following me and he's kind of grabby and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, okay, well, this could be my grandfather. And she goes, and I don't want to, she didn't want to like go too far into it, but she goes, he was kind of that man at a party that would hit on anything with legs. And he was sassy and he was like, he didn't care. He just would hit on everybody. And he was always the life of the party. And I'm like, makes sense. But now every time I go to this location, this one specific spirit, his name is Colonel Wilson, and I can play with the spirit for a half an hour, and he will say things like lashes, wig. He'll tell me what color dress to wear for him the next time I come. Like, I will dress for this spirit. And then when I come back, I'll wear, like, if he says wear a green dress, I'll wear a green dress, and he'll bring up the fact that I wore that dress on the radios in front of the guests.
That's awesome. That's awesome, right? Yeah. So they can see us. That's why I ask a lot of times when doing an investigation, do you see us or do you just hear us? And I get kind of alternating responses on that. And then asking, when you see us, what do you see? Are we the shadow figures to them in their solid form? You know, so they're able to show detail, color. They know who you are within and without. That's really telling. So consciousness, it shows that it exists in a way that we're still not fully understanding, and it can recognize things and see things about us that maybe we don't know or that we try to hide ourselves. I know a lot of people fear that when it starts revealing secrets, it's usually something dark and it's trying to humiliate, embarrass, or break you. Maybe it's also doing like an evidential medium. It's giving you something to let you know it's made a connection, and it doesn't have to be perceived as evil. Something to bear in mind. We have to take a break. We'll come back. We'll hear more from Monique too soon. And if you have topics and guests you think you'd like to hear on the show, email me, dave@paranormal60.com. That's dave@paranormal60.com. Welcome back. This is Paranormal 360. I'm Dave Schrader, Monique Toussaint, our guest. So Monique, I have to keep muting my microphone because today I am broadcasting from within the Palmer House Hotel. And there are points when you'll start talking about the dresses, the changes, and I'm getting a rapping on the wall right behind me.
Ooh.
And now, obviously, we're a hotel. There are people here, but it's only at specific points when you're talking about when you're in the drag character. I keep getting that. And I just thought that was kind of an interesting element because, again, there is a belief that at one point this was a brothel. This was a place where people came and went. And the women spirits are sometimes standoffish to men and much more accepting to women. You know, it's kind of an interesting dynamic, but I think it's funny that every time we start talking about that, I start getting a knock. So it's making me wonder, is it one of the people that ran this place that's interested in what you're talking about? Or is it one of the former workers here who may have had their own secrets that, that they're feeling connected to? I love the way the paranormal works because you never really know, but that's why you have to start watching trends. You have to start watching when things are making themselves known and to what trigger is it that seems to be getting the best and elicit the best responses.
Yeah. I feel with this whole brothel thing too, that the Palmer House being a brothel, the Hunt Memorial Library being a brothel, I filmed an episode of a show called Dark Echoes in a building that I wasn't told was a brothel before I got there. And I was put in the upstairs, and I believe that ladies of the night connect with me because I kind of, at some points in my drag career, looked like a prostitute. I mean, we dress a little bit more, less conservative than real women do. I wear a lot of makeup. I have flashy hair. I'm loud. I feel like ladies from a brothel would connect with me. But I did this TV show where I was scrying in a mirror. That's something I can do that I recently, like in the past year, learned I can do. And I was just scrying in this upstairs of this old building that was just a restaurant now, like the Palmer House. But I was scrying and I'm talking to the camera crew and I'm like, please do not put this in the episode until we can confirm this because I don't want to look like a complete idiot on national television. And I'm like, but I'm watching in my mirror and I'm seeing a brunette woman who has no shirt on and I've never seen ghost topless. Like, I've never seen a naked ghost. Like, I don't know what this is happening. And this ghost is topless, but she's also been strangled.
Mm.
So I have seen this brunette woman and she's definitely got marks all around her neck as if hands had been there and she's topless. Well, that's all I get. I leave it at that. There's tripwire wrapped around me the whole time I'm scrying. The tripwire's lighting up. Everything's going crazy. And then I leave. I never hear anything about this brothel. The next day I go online and I'm like, I got to do research. Come to find out it was a brothel.
A lot of weird secrets in these locations, right? You never know what you're going to bump into. Well, first of all, know that you're always welcome here at the Palmer House, Monique. We'd love to have you here, and having that kind of connection, it'd be interesting to see what the spirits have to say, especially our ghost Raymond here at the Palmer House Hotel. He seems to like men, not women. It would be interesting to see what his take is on Monique too soon. How is this dynamic going to play out? Fascinating stuff. What are a couple of the locations that you really want to get to that you have not had a chance to? And what about those are drawing you, do you think?
Bucket list number one is Alcatraz. Yeah. I would love to see what the energy at Alcatraz does with a drag queen. I want to do the whole escape route in full drag in a prison jumpsuit. Like I want to see, I've done prisons as a boy, but never in drag. So I am dying to see what happens when I go in drag. But also Winchester House, obviously that's on everyone's bucket list that hasn't been there. And the Anchorage Hotel.
Sure.
Known for being really negative towards women in that basement. And I want to see what it does to a not woman, you know, like someone who's kind of sitting in between that in that description, and see if it's as negative towards me.
I want also people to hear from your perspective, because I think it's important. There are many people that want to try experimenting in the paranormal in healthy, safe ways to push beyond the boundaries of what maybe every other investigator is doing. What advice do you give to them that they don't have to be adherent to what they've watched on Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, Paranormal State, Holzer Files? You know, row your own boat. Don't always follow the same pathway everybody else is doing. What advice would you give to people out there that are interested in doing something like that and trying something new?
Yeah, if it's in your head and it's already in there manifesting, just go out and do it. Because I manifested drag and ghost hunting in my brain for many years before I actually did it. It took COVID to get me into a ghost hunting location in drag. And like I said, that very first night, the second I turned on that radio, we got that EVP. He's a lady. It was immediate and it was the best adrenaline I got. And now I realized that walking into a location not dressed like every other ghost hunter in the world has turned me into a weird trigger object. I'm not walking in there wearing black and white. I'm in there in a full costume, a dress, wig, lashes, big makeup. I'm walking in there like I'm in lack of a better term, like a celebrity. I'm feeding this location entertainment as they're entertaining us. And I think that the spirit world wants to be entertained as much as we want to be entertained by them. And I feel like if you go in there with that energy, you're going to get that energy back. And I think that's probably why being different is doing so well for me in this world. These ghosts aren't used to it.
Right. And I love your element of just being who you are, having fun, trying to bring up the energy in a positive way. Because I found that there are times when we're getting flatlined the entire night during an investigation. And the minute we stop focusing on trying to talk to the ghosts and try to get them to play and just start communicating between ourselves, we listen back to recordings. And that's when the ghosts start to interject themselves into the moment. And it's almost like, you know, we've picked up laughter to jokes that we throw at one another, or hearing comments, because it seems like the ghost realizes, oh, they're here for fun. And that's when they inject. It doesn't have to be such a maudlin environment, does it?
Mm-mm. No, it's very, very, it's supposed to be taken seriously. We take it seriously,
right?
But laugh. Everything in this world has an entertainment value to it. And even things that are supposed to be taken seriously, it's okay to laugh and enjoy the moment. And it's also okay to put on a show for people that you're asking to put on a show for you.
I love that thought. Across two very different locations tonight, a private estate and a public library, we were reminded of something easy to forget when we talk about hauntings. Buildings don't make ghosts, people do. In Weymouth, we encountered spirits shaped by who they were in life and the choices that they carried with them beyond it. In Nashua, we stepped into a place of learning and silence, only to discover it had become a refuge for lives unfinished, secrets hidden, and moments that refused to fade quietly into history. What connected both investigations wasn't fear, it was clarity. Names mattered, details mattered, intent mattered. And in both cases, the spirits weren't wandering aimlessly. They stayed for reasons that were personal, complicated, and deeply human. Our thanks to Monique Toussoun, whose approach to investigation blends experience, sensitivity, and a willingness to let the evidence speak without forcing a narrative. These were not performances, they were encounters. And if there's a takeaway from tonight, it's this. The paranormal isn't always about the unknown. It's about recognizing that some stories don't end simply because we stop listening. That's why we're here. That's why we keep asking the questions. Thank you for joining us on the Paranormal 360.